Thank you. Okei, nuksukueks, itamik sestiko, nitaniko pitaki. My Dutch name is Inge Gené, and I'd like to acknowledge that we are in the beautiful country of Hawaii that belongs to the Hawaiian people, and I always like to do a language acknowledgement. I would like to acknowledge that we're all speaking the language of the colonizers, which is not my native language and not the native language of many other people as well. I have some acknowledgements. Oh?
Can you use the microphone?
Yes, certainly. Is it on? Yeah? And does that help? Okay, thank you. All right. I used to do acknowledgements last, and in articles they used to end up in little footnote, but nowadays I do them first because I couldn't do any of this work without all of these people that have all helped me over the years. And today I would like especially to acknowledge the presence of Noreen Breaker, important elder from the Siksika Reserve, and a native speaker of the language, so I hope I'm not going to say anything that is terribly wrong. I'll talk to you afterwards about it, no doubt. So for those of you that are not familiar with the Blackfoot language, I decided this time to try and locate it in relationship to Hawaii, and it was somewhat possible. We get a lot of ocean there. So the red dots that you see on this map are the area in Canada where the Blackfoot language is spoken. It's also spoken just south of the border in Montana. Here's a slightly more detailed map. I apologize to the people that are working with speakers in Montana. This is a Canadian project, so the red dots are the Canadian Blackfoot dialects, but the language is also spoken in this area, just south of the border. So the orthography issues that I'm going to talk to you about today are kind of an end stage of some issues that came up as I was finalizing a digitization project. So the project that we did was we took basically a print dictionary that was made by linguist Don France starting in the 60s and 70s, and we got a grant to sort of give this back to the community by digitizing it. That digitization project over time became much bigger. We started to add images and audio and video and grammar pages and all kinds of things. But in essence, it was a digitization project. So as we were working on that digitization project, and I was also starting to teach Blackfoot students at the University of Lethbridge, who are mostly no longer fluent speakers of the language, I was starting to use the resource to teach in my grammar classes. I started to notice more and more that there are really very serious problems with the acceptation of the orthography. So just a slight short history. There were isolated attempts to write Blackfoot in the 19th and 20th century by early traders. There is also an adaptation based on Cree syllabics, but that never really found widespread acceptance. Roughly phonetic transcription systems were, of course, used by linguists, important one that I worked a lot with as well, because since he is also Dutch, I understand his errors. It was Ulenbeck, a Dutch linguist who worked in Montana in the early 20th century. But Don Frans really did the first attempt at a systematic orthography that was also intended to be of use to the speakers of the language. So he started this work in the 60s and 70s, and in 1975 this orthography was officially accepted by the nation school boards in Canada and is used for most educational materials. In Montana, there is a slightly different orthography in use that however, has mostly the same principles. So the linguistic principles of his orthography were, you have to think he was developing this in the 60s and 70s, and he wanted it to be easy to type on a typewriter. So he decided not to use macrons or diacritics or anything like that, so geminates are written double. He just wanted it to be very easy. he was trying to be roughly phonemic, not to represent allophones, but also to preserve morphological transparency where that was not contradicted by phonology. And then in his time, he was still working mostly with native speakers of the language, but even at that time already, of course, their literacy, their primary literacy was English-based. So this is just a short overview of the way that the orthography was designed. The most important things that are different from English is, like I already said, geminates are just written double. The glottal stop is represented with an apostrophe, and velar fricative g is represented with an h. Then for the vowels, nobody agrees on exactly how to represent the vowels or what they are. This is just one. Representation. But the important thing to learn is that only the letters I, A, and O are used. Various other sounds like a are represented with digraphs, and again, geminates are simply written double. So, we've heard several talks at this conference, and there's a lot of beautiful recent literature about what would be the ideally best way to develop an orthography, of course, with input from the community and doing it all in the right way so that an orthography can get properly accepted by the community. But in cases like this, where basically a missionary linguist developed an orthography that was then accepted by the communities, except not really fully heartily accepted, we don't have the opportunity to start from scratch, and I also don't, to be honest, think that we should start from scratch. So we're dealing with some of the good and bad things that are present in what we have. Of course, the main non-linguistic factor should be in development, but is in acceptance, is social, political, and cultural. And this orthography has been officially accepted, but I would say that on the ground, there are many individuals who don't actually wholeheartedly embrace it. So France didn't develop his orthography in consultation with the community, and therefore people often refer to it as the linguistic system, or the standard system, or the France system, and in other kind of terms that indicate a degree of alienation that they seem to feel from this orthography and the person who designed it. And so, in actual practice, there are several sort of impressionistic alternate spellings in use that people often refer to as phonetic writing, which of course is really grating to linguists, because it is actually not phonetic at all. It's based on people's intuitions about English. Nevertheless, there's still, especially when you talk to teachers, there really is widespread consensus that the education system should work with this standard that we have, and then how do we make sure that everybody is actually able and willing to use that? So the important linguistic factors against orthography adoption are that speaker and learner intuitions about the value of the letters are entirely based on English. And I think we shouldn't underestimate how important that is, because most Blackfoot people do not speak any other languages. They don't learn French in school. So if they have a little bit of Blackfoot, then that's their second language, and otherwise their entire language is only English. So they're entirely, there is a sort of internalized colonialism that makes people think that what the letter means in English must be the right thing. And if Blackfoot sounds different, then there's a problem with Blackfoot and we need to sort of write this with a different letter because it's not the same. It's not the same as the English letter. So some of these impressionistic spellings that I've just collected from some speakers that I work with, but also from my students when they first start to write the language and haven't yet acquired the spelling system, is this is what they look like. So from the title of my talk, writing knee stew with, you know, just two separate English words, which also, that also, if you're a second language learner, that also makes you pronounce it really badly with a terrible English accent, right? That makes you say knee stew instead of knee stool. So it does various things. It's an approach to what it kind of would maybe sound like if it was based on English, but it never results in a good or a native sounding pronunciation. I'm going to point your attention also to the fourth word, gachs, which means my grandparent, noting that very often, thank you, very often the velar fricative is not written at all because, you know, of course, it doesn't exist in English. Same with glottal stops are very often just completely omitted. Gemination isn't heard, so those things are also very often omitted. So the main, what I've noticed from working with Blackfoot students, linguistic challenges in the standard orthography are, of course, in what you have in many European languages as well. The oral stops in Blackfoot are unaspirated, which makes people think often that they really should be written with BDG letters instead of PTK. The velar fricative doesn't exist in English and also has several allophones. There's a lot of pronunciation variation around this sound. And younger people are starting to pronounce it as a K, I think because they really just have trouble producing that sound. The glottal stop is very often not heard because it's not phonemic in English and therefore is often completely omitted. Geminates are not heard. And vowels, we all know, all IPA-based vowels are counterintuitive to people whose basic intuitions are based on English. Pitch accent is not marked in the standard orthography, but for second language learners, it would actually be very helpful, especially if you have these really long polysynthetic words, to at least know where the stress is. So in our dictionary, we've started to put it in. We just put accents on the stressed syllable. But because it's pitch accent, not stressed like English, again, it has a different acoustic effect and therefore is often not heard reliably by speakers, and Mizuki spoke about that yesterday. Spacing, long words are very hard to read, so many people will put spaces in the middle of words, but many people will actually space, not morphologically, but phonologically, like they'll space every syllable. And then variation is important. How do we balance the need to respect individual differences, dialect differences, with the need for some form of consistent representation. So in our project, we've done several things to try and mitigate that. And I have to say that the goal of these mitigation things that we have done is really to try for the speakers to de-emphasize spelling. Because the thing that has become very clear is that people are not so interested in spelling. And they don't want to spend a whole bunch of time making sure that they're spelling a word correctly. Now that very many people are learning the language as a second language, they're interested in oral fluency, they're not interested in writing it correctly. So everything that we've been doing on our dictionary has been, how do we try to account for spelling errors that people might make that would still allow them to find this word in our dictionary? So it's all aimed at de-emphasizing spelling. So what we've done is, on the Blackfoot to English search, we've instituted a relaxed search that will take care of some common spelling errors. We also have instituted something that we call a pronunciation guide. It's just an extra field that you can add if you want, where if a speaker finds it important, we can add this alternate spelling or a pronunciation guide or anything like that. And that kind of gives people the idea that, sure, the standard spelling is like this, but a spelling system is only a spelling system, and you might want to do it differently. And then in order to kind of work with the fact that oral language is so important and the emphasis is so much on oral fluency, we are trying to add multiple audio files to every entry in the dictionary, especially from speakers from different dialects or different ages, so that we capture some of the variation as well. So this is what the relaxed search currently looks like. So currently, the relaxed search in the Blackfoot to English search bar will ignore pitch accent marks. So if you forget them or you put them wrong, it will ignore that. It will ignore geminates. So if you accidentally write a double M or a single M, it will ignore that as well. And it completely ignores whether or not you put glottal stops in. So as an example, the word uktas, which means a horse or a saddle horse, all these three ways of typing that into the search bar will show you, will bring up that word. And I'm just going to approve you that is true. I took a screenshot of myself really mistyping that word into the search bar, and it brings up that word, for which we also have a picture, which is very nice. So this is what we currently have. And having worked a little bit over the last year or two with some of my students with this dictionary, thank you, has allowed me to plan a few more relaxed search features that we're going to be implementing in the future, I'm hoping in the summer. So obviously, the standard orthography doesn't use the letters B, D, and G, but people write them frequently because unaspirated P, T, and K sound like B, D, G for English speakers. And so we could very easily, if people mistype those letters, just replace them with the P, T, K symbols. Because the letter E doesn't occur in the orthography, we could very easily replace that with the letter I. The letter U doesn't occur in the orthography. It's a little bit tricky. It can most of the time be replaced with the letter A and it will be correct. And some people use the letter X for the sound combination KS. And so that can also very easily be replaced. So then there are sort of more advanced replacement things that contain non-existing letter combinations, some of which do exist in the orthography, and so we need to make sure that we don't get them wrong. So the unaspirated PTK are also sometimes written as BDG followed by an H. So that exact combination could be replaced. The sound E is also sometimes written as EA, so we could replace that. One of the speakers who really has her own system, very high-profile person, she used to be married to a German man, and so she also writes the velar fricative as CH, and so we could replace that with H as well. The sound A, which is in the orthography written as AI, is often written as EH by people, and of course the combination KN doesn't even exist in English, and so we could just delete the K. But this requires a little bit more analysis to make sure that we don't end up making it worse instead of better. So there's several things that are not currently solvable. For instance, people often write AH for a long ah sound, but in the standard Blackfoot system, that can also mean ach. And so we can't just delete that. That's really a problem that I don't think we can easily solve. People often write AW for ah or aw. As you can see in that example here, nimataksim, you can see that the syllable in the middle is written as D-A-W instead of with a long A. Also very often completely missing velar fricative, so nitrpus, written just as N-I-T, and then the next syllable, pus, with that sound completely missing, even though the speaker who wrote this, I listened to it, she said it's there. But she doesn't hear it herself. Thank you. And then the use of Y, where the standard spelling system has an I that, to be honest, really is a glide, as in a very common spelling of the word hanya. The way you see it over here. On Pikani, there are people who have T-shirts that say hanya in that spelling. It kind of means, is that right? So it's a very common thing that people say. And many other spelling variants. There's no way we're going to be able to handle everything. So then, in order to handle these alternate spelling systems, we have made an additional entry that allows you to add a pronunciation guide. The benefit of this is that it shows respect for spellings used by some very respected speakers and teachers who just refuse to use the standard spelling system. But the challenges from a practical point of view, of course, are that this can potentially lead to an unlimited number of idiosyncratic spellings with questionable benefits, especially from the point of view of how's this going to help people learn the language. And it can also be confusing for new learners to have to deal with multiple orthographies, like the same word written in multiple ways. But I'm just giving you a small example here of the word okki, which kind of means hello. You can just see there in blue that we added the spelling guide that our speaker gave us. She said, well, you have to indicate that that's how it's, pronounced. Then in our grammar, the grammar pages that we started to add, we have some information there, including some paradigms. And you can see here what we've done is, it's a little hard to see, I'm sure, and it's not very clear, but when you hover over the standard spelling of a word, the alternate spelling that speaker gave us kind of pops up in a little pop-up bar. But then really most importantly, because the goal is to de-emphasize the orthography, I need one more minute. The goal is to de-emphasize the orthography, right? So that's what we're going to try and do. So the important thing, and this is what the speaker said to us after we had finished doing our digitization project, they said, this needs to be a talking dictionary. You need to have audio for everything. So we strive to have multiple audio files for each entry and for each example. That has the great benefit that it de-emphasizes writing to focus on actual pronunciation. It helps people learn, but also it helps to normalize pronunciation variation in the presence of a consistent spelling. So it kind of ends these discussions about who said it right, because there's just several speakers for many words. The challenges are practical. This can be potentially unlimited. When is this ever going to be done? Like, when can we ever decide that we have enough audio files? When do we have enough recordings? And so there's mainly a resource/manpower/read/money problem at just getting this enormous amount of work done. This is what that looks like for the word pita, which means eagle. You can see I'm not going to play them for you, but there were 3 audio files from 3 different speakers. So really quickly, concluding remarks. The adoption of this standard orthography, I think, remains shaky on the ground, even 40 plus years after it was officially adopted. Contributing factors include a general lack of Blackfoot literacy practices in the home, but also knowledge of other languages, which makes people think that really English is how things should be. People's literacy practices and intuition are entirely rooted in English, and they really are incredibly locked up in their mind in that English thinking about spelling. But print literacy is not a priority for most Blackfoot speakers anyway, so there's a lot of emphasis on oral language. And so we are attempting to mitigate this in ways that will hopefully actually de-emphasize the importance of orthography, allowing people to not worry so much about spelling things exactly correctly, so that the resources on the website will kind of quietly correct their spelling errors for them. That's it. Thank you. We have references. I would really like somebody, when it's time for questions, to ask me to play this little recording.
Would you please play that little recording?
Thank you. Because I think it's important that everybody hears some natural, Blackfoot by a native speaker. And this was done by one of my students who said, really, we need some songs. And so for the word mouse, which came up in Mizuki's presentation yesterday, she has this little cute song about a mouse. It's only like a minute or so.
This is a children's song. Kaneskina ya gawa pinoksi Utsis chimi ka nisitoni ka kiponi ka Kaneskina ya gawa pinoksi Utsis chimi ka nisitoni ka kiponi ka.
Thank you for that first question.
Cheers, privilege.
We have about 7 minutes left for questions.
Sure. Thanks, Inga. I have 2 questions. The first is, what orthography is being used in the pre-post-secondary, the secondary, or the K-12 school system, and is it the same as that's being taught in university? Or?
Yeah, so in principle, as far as I can see, the schools use what they call the France orthography or the standard spelling system. When you look at actual resources, if you would compare them to the way that things look like in the dictionary, I would say that very often you'd have to conclude that it's full of small spelling errors, right? Where people are just not double checking, should that be a single M or a double M? So the orthography, I think, is in general use throughout, including at the university, but people really are I think from an English or a European background, people are just sloppy about spelling in ways that I used to feel judgy about that, but it just really, you know, I think we should all just relax about spelling is really what it has taught me. So I hope that answers that question.
That does.
Yeah.
And then the second question would be, you mentioned that syllabics never really caught on. I've been hearing a lot lately, personally, that there's a push towards, when you're teaching young children, starting with syllabics before any other writing system. And I'm wondering if that catches on. And I'm not convinced that it necessarily will either. But I've heard some prominent elders sort of talking about this. How do you think that'll affect things?
Do you mean in general or in Blackfoot Country?
In Blackfoot Country.
Hmm. I have not heard that.
Okay.
And I don't have a good opinion on, like, I actually really don't know. Like, I don't know what is the effect of learning syllabics on the ability to learn a language. Does somebody know of research into that?
I know a little bit about that, but from very old research, I don't know the modern research, but children tend to be able to deal with syllables before they can deal with segments, because it's a developmental issue. But a language that has complex phonotactics will not work for in syllabic, which is, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right, and it sounded from the song that this was mostly CV, 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 although there were some complex onsets. So it would just depend on how many possible syllables there are in your language, whether a syllabic system is going to work or not. But in some languages, it totally not work. In English, for example, it would, there'd be too many possible syllables to learn that one.
Yeah, I really don't have a good answer for that, other than really to say, for such young children, really they shouldn't be writing at all. Yet they should learn to speak the language, and they should learn to write when they, you know, when they can learn the proper system, because it's hard enough. But why would you bother children with two writing systems?
Oh,
yeah.
They weren't planning to do two writing systems.
I saw a question from back there.
Thanks. Yeah, this was so great. Thank you. Thanks. I really enjoyed this. And I think, you know, I think the platform you have for the digital dictionary is so excellent. You know, I think this. So I'm wondering if you think, like, say there were people that were really wanting to worry about spelling. So instead of thinking about this in terms of de-emphasizing spelling, maybe what you're de-emphasizing is standardized spelling.
Mm.
You know, it's not so much that people are being sloppy, but that there are lots of alternatives. And so just as you can have three recordings of Pita, you can have three different spellings. Would that just open a huge, messy can of worms? Or is that, because the platform can certainly handle that.
The platform can handle it, but the schools really want sight words. You know, doesn't everybody who learns English, like, I didn't learn with sight words, but...
But it's funny that you say, sorry,
And so don't you need, like, if you have sight words, they need to be spelled in similar ways, right?
I guess no? I feel, like, I haven't worked with a lot of teachers, but I've worked with teachers from a different school than the one you worked with the community, and the standard is not, it seems much more relaxed, maybe. I don't know, I've seen lots of hyphens being used by the teachers to demarcate syllables and such.
Yep.
So from what you're saying, it seems like some of the teachers I know are using something much less close to the standard than what maybe you observe. I'd be
interested in knowing from you, are these teachers also saying that they think the standard isn't important? Because what I see from the people that I work with is more that they all say the standard is really important and we should adhere to it, and then they sort of don't spell check. if I can say it like that, yeah.
Yeah, like I'd have to think about that more, because it's not, you know, it'd be a big group where there's some teachers and stuff. Like, so
yeah.
I can't tease that apart right now. The general consensus seems to be that the standard is not important, but it's not like it works exclusive to teachers.
Okay.
But we should talk more. I want to
have
the time.
Thank you.
We have two questions.
Thank you, Inga. Just briefly, when you mentioned the reworking of the Franz Dictionary that you all did, how accurate was his transcription? I mean, what is your sense of the reliability of that dictionary?
That's a really good question. Don Franz did an enormous amount of work all on his own. And he also is my friend, and he also gave me his database. So this is a tough question. I actually think in general, you know, I don't agree with, well, let me say like that. Many people no longer agree with all of his morpheme labels, for instance, the way that he classifies roots, the way that he classifies many of the affixes. But I think from a kind of from a phonological point of view, I think it's pretty good. I think this orthography works, and that it can be taught to speakers and also to learners. And in most cases, it represents things, at least from a, let's say, from a phonetic point of view, correctly.
Thank you. I only say that because we, you know, once we have reliable source data, then we just focus on, you know, teaching literacy to teachers who ultimately are the multipliers of that literacy. And it doesn't matter, you know, what the system looks like necessarily, as long as it's accurate and it's fundamental.
Well, for instance, just to give you a small example, it takes me one-hour class to explain to my students why we don't need the letters B, D, and G, that English is the problem, not Blackfoot or Dutch or any other European language, that English is weird here. I explain to them why aspiration is weird, and that makes them mishear these sounds, and then from then on, they never use these letters, it's done. So it's really just, I think you're right there, a lot of it is about training.
Time for one last question.
It comes down to what, why would somebody want to write the words? So if somebody, what is orthography, what is literacy all about, and what is orthography all about? So if it is in order to make a record so that when you go back to look at it again, you can read it, then the standardized orthographies have a place in the world. If it is just to please you at the moment that you are doing it, you could do anything, right? So we have the same kind of issues in the Shoshone language, right? People say, I'm going to write it the way I say it, which is pretty much what you were saying. But what they do then is when they go back and look at it, they can't read what they wrote. So those of us who have learned multiple languages and multiple language systems and multiple writing systems, we know that every language is going to be spelled differently. So I'm just connecting again with almost everything you said. This is an issue across North America because of the dominance of English and the odd things that happen in English that don't happen in maybe other languages. So I'm going to support what Will said. All writing systems have problems. And
the problem is just that the English writing system has many, many, many problems. And so it is probably the worst place to start from, right?
And that's where some of these issues come from.
I
linguistics to English. English. People were training to be English teachers, so it could even be worse than that, right? But yes, exactly. But all language, so if what you want to be able to do is read what you wrote after you wrote it, we want a standard. We have to have a standardized system. And if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Please join me in thanking your speaker.